for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, December 28, 1991. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Irma Miller is the speaker of the afternoon. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
Brother Tromley's written a book titled, Can a Woman Teach? Well, we'll find out, and then it doesn't say, can a woman preach, but this afternoon and tonight, why, we're going to find out if a woman can teach or if a woman can preach. So if you want to know, why, stay here this afternoon and come back tonight. Amen. And we'll find out if Brother Tromley knows what he's talking about when he wrote that book. So we'll see. Irma, we'll start with you.
I don't think we have to worry about any demons in here this afternoon. You, I'm sure he's had a nervous breakdown and left after that. I would. If I was a devil, I'd want to get out of here, wouldn't you? He's not safe in here. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we come in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for your precious presence here and for the anointing that has broken off the yokes and destroyed many yokes this last few days. And Lord, we know that you're going to keep on destroying the yoke that the enemy has put upon us. Lord, I ask you to possess me this afternoon with thy Holy Spirit. I ask you to take over my voice. I thank you for your strength. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your loving kindness to all of us. I thank you, Lord, that you don't condemn us. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. He loves every one of us. He wants to see us come boldly to his throne and ask him for everything that we desire. And if it is his will, he will give it to us. And Lord, I thank you that you do all these wonderful things for us. I thank you for these singers that you have produced, the musicians you have produced. I thank you for all of the growth I see in many of the people that have come year after year, how they're growing, how you're growing up in them. And Lord, we don't know what you plan to do this afternoon, but I yield myself totally to you. Lord, your will be done, not my will, but thine be done. I thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. There's many things I would like to say. One thing I would like to tell you, that when I was in high school, a junior in high school, I always had wanted to be a teacher since I was a little girl, but not this kind of a teacher. You know, we all have our ideas. And even though I had scholarships, my folks could not afford to even send me to school for food, with the food and everything. My parents were ministers, pioneer ministers. But you know, when I was in high school, I just took to the typewriter and to shorthand and to bookkeeping. And when the typing, they had no substitute teachers in those days, and they would let me teach the typing class. And I was so happy. Oh, I was so happy. And you see, the Lord puts us in certain places, even though, now I never wanted any part of preacher's life. If you've lived in a parsonage, you know what I mean. But you see, he does what he wants. We are his vessel. And he says, I realized last night that I am a daughter of destiny, not ever wanting to come here, not ever wanting to face the enemy. But you see, my dad used to preach, and really, I'm only a handmaiden. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I'll just do the best I can, but I'm his handmaiden that he has poured his spirit out. Now, isn't that wonderful? And I'm going to read from the book of Joel this afternoon, because it's right along with the army of God. Now, whether you want to be in the army of God, you can choose. He's going to lure you and encourage you to be in the army of the Lord. There's plenty of devils for all of us, every one of you in your hometowns. There's plenty of people that need help, so we don't have to be jealous or selfish about any kind of our ministry, because there's plenty for everyone. And there's plenty of Jesus for everyone. And there's plenty of His deliverance power for everyone. Now, this is a deliverance camp meeting, but we do believe in other things. And I'm going to tell you in a few minutes where we're going in God. The more bad guys we get out of us, the better we're going to be for Jesus. Second chapter, well, I'm going to read the first chapter, the 13th verse. I'm going to read a few scriptures, and then we're going to the second chapter of Joel. Gird yourselves and lament, ye priests. We're all a kingdom of priests, aren't we? I don't know if you know you're a priest or not, but you're supposed to be. God's bringing us to that. How, ye ministers of the altar. You know, I was thinking how wonderful it is up here on this front seat, because I'm always back there. It's easy to be spiritual up here. It is. There's so much goes on in the back. Phones ringing. And I told the girls yesterday, I think upstairs, I could easily have a pity party. I'm glad I've been delivered from self-pity, because I could have a real pity party. All the speakers didn't show up. The musicians did not show up. Other musicians canceled, and I did not get flustered. I just said, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. If we have to get up here and just make a joyful noise. And He has provided. Isn't it wonderful? And I thank the Lord for that. You ministers of the altar, come and lie all night in sackcloth. You know, it doesn't hurt to fast from sleep and get up and pray in the night. That won't hurt you a bit. It won't hurt you, preachers. It won't. You ministers of my God. Now, I'm considered an old lady. I'll be 70, my birthday. That's right. You're old. You don't have to be old just because the world says you're old. And you don't have to retire when you're 65. That's ridiculous. I like the Social Security check, though. That's our salary. That's the only salary we take around here is the Social Security. Yeah, we're in the notch here, so we are, well, don't worry about it. The Lord's going to provide, because starting the first day of the year, we get a new raise. That's right. He's the provider. For the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. You know that this place is special. You must realize that. There's so much of the anointing and the Lord. It's really nothing that we do. It's just the Lord. This belongs to the Lord. And we do the best we can in praising Him and praying and working. Sanctify ye a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Now, we fast on Thursday, and some people say, well, that's a ritual. Well, eating is a ritual, too. Three meals a day, whether you're hungry or not, that's a ritual. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord. How many has ever cried unto the Lord? I remember when I was wanting to be delivered, I'd go to my dad, I'd say, I need deliverance. Oh, no, you don't, honey. You're a good girl. I'd go to Glenn, he says, you're just imagining you have demons. And I had to, back in the 60s, I had to look and search and cry and beg the Lord to deliver me and have somebody that would really believe I had something wrong with me to pray for me. And I praise the Lord for all the deliverances that have come across this platform and taught us. We learn from everyone. Now, I would not miss one minute of these meetings. I get over here, the cook is sick. She's been sick since before Thanksgiving. So what? I know how to cook. So I get over here at 6:30. And I stay till Dr. Null turns the light out, till I can't hardly see to get outdoors. And the Lord gives us the strength. I know for a will He gives me strength. It's of the Lord. Because a long time ago, years ago, I had a vision of two elephants walking down the Los Angeles River. And it's always dry, you know, but there's a mud puddle now and then, only when it rains. And these elephants were swinging their trunks, and they were sniffing way in the air for some water. And they would walk along and they'd come to this mud puddle and they would put their trunks down to get a drink and then they'd walk on. I didn't know what that meant. I wasn't used to having dreams or visions in those days, but I was fasting a lot, and that will bring dreams and visions. But you don't have to go off the deep end about dreams and visions either, because that's a trick of the enemy. Well, yes, he had this vision of this place. I'm glad we can't see the future, and I'm glad we don't know the future, because he would have never dragged me here. I would have dragged my feet harder. But the Lord has been gracious, and I was telling a girl about this one day, and she just started to prophesy. And she said, those elephants are you and Glenn, and the Lord is giving you the strength of elephants. And you don't want the muddy muck. You want the clear, pure water to drink. The water of the Lord, the water of the Word. And I thought, and I've never forgot that. I thank him for his strength. I don't want to miss a moment. I want to watch all these again on video. How many of you would like to see this again on video? Last night that was a... I don't want him to hear this, but it was a profound message from God. Brother Tromley has made some profound messages since he's been here. We can learn from every minister that comes through here if you'll listen. If you'll listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. He's saying constantly, come up higher, isn't he? Come up higher in the Spirit. Come up, where the Lord is really moving. But that's where the big boys are to pick you off. So you better be careful, but don't be scared. Don't be frightened. Don't be fearful. I got to go on here. The whole afternoon will be gone. I cannot see that clock for that man. The seed is rotten under the... Is not the meat cut off from before your eyes, and joy and gladness from the house of our God? There are so many sad churches and sad people. The seed is rotten under the clods. The garners are laid up desolate. The barns are broken down. Where the corn is withered. You can cross up in the countries where there's barns, and all the barns, they don't keep them up anymore. The conglomerates have bought up the farms, and they're just letting the... This is all Joel, what he was seeing prophetically years ago, and they probably thought when he gave it that he was a false prophet even. But you see, it's coming now. I'm going to get to the second. This is what I like. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm. Blast it. That's what it means. In my holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A great and terrible day of the Lord. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds, thick darkness as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. That's the army of the Lord. I that's the way I take it. I don't know if these DDs and theologians around here, you know, you have to have the grace of God to even stand up here in front of them. But I like their spirits. But this is the army of the Lord. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses and as horsemen. So shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of the mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devours the stubble. As a strong people set in battle array. That's what the Lord is getting us ready for. Battle array. A real battle. And a real, you know, when they're dressed in dress code, they're all alike. And we are going to have on our garments, pure and white, to be in this army. Before their face, the people shall be much pained. I watch people coming here all the time, and they look like death, some of them. Their faces are pained. All faces gather blackness or darkness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the walls like men of war. And they shall march everyone on his way, and they shall not break their ranks. There's no fussing and striving in the army of the Lord. Am I getting this right? Neither shall one thrust another. Oh, my land. There's so much jealousy in the body of Christ, and it starts at the pulpit and in every church. How many people did you have in church? How many buses do you have and all of that? This army is not going to be involved in all that. They'll walk everyone in his path straight. We're going to be straight. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. Now, isn't that wonderful? The Lord is going to be leading this army. For he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. And who can abide it, or who can stand for this terrible judgment that's coming on the earth in the day of the Lord that it's talking about? Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn you even to me with all of your heart. No more half-hearted Christians. No more lackadaisical Christians. I'll go to church if I want to, and if I don't want to, I won't go. I won't put myself out. When Glenn broke that power of self this morning, wasn't that good? We're also self-centered. We want to do our own thing. We want to do as we please, and don't tell me what to do, and don't tell anybody else what to do. Let us do our own thing. The Lord is telling us what to do. The Holy Spirit, I pray every day, Lord, turn the light on me. Show me this wickedness in my heart. I don't want to have anything. I want, when Satan comes, he can find nothing in me. Don't you desire for that position? When he went to Jesus, he could find nothing in him. See, he could only attach himself to sin. That's the only legal right he has, is sin. And we need more repentance. It's not out of style. We need to be repenting every day. And we need to have our spiritual ears opened and exercised so we'll know when we're sinning. And we'll shut our mouths. We don't have to talk about other people. The Bible says, speak evil of no man. We don't know. I learned that. I told the girls upstairs in that meeting this afternoon that I learned the hard way when I first come here, because I used to condemn that racetrack. I'd have to sit out there maybe for 30 minutes while they had 65,000 in the arena in those days. The Hot Springs Women of Prayer is praying that racetrack closed. It's just about to fold up. They even cried so hard that the governor allowed them not to have to pay taxes there on anything in there. They're really crying. But the Lord, these women of prayer in Hot Springs are claiming that arena, and they keep fixing it, making it nicer and prettier and everything. I've never been in it. I'm not a gambler. But I used to condemn people. I'd sit there in my car and I'd say to Kevin, look at that guy. I bet his kids don't have any shoes. His wife is probably home without any food. And I would just go down the line, you know, watching every person, and just really, I had a good case of condemnation. When I got home, Brother Williams was here at the time, and by the time I'd get home, I'd have something, I could feel it on me. I could feel the enemy. And I'd walk in, and I'd have to be cooking dinner, and I'd say, you pray and I'll cook. I've got something on me. Well, he'd pray, and I'd cook. Well, that went on for a few days, and one day he said, you know, you get tired of the same old thing every day. I know these preachers get tired of praying for the same thing. They want people to change, and they want God. They want the Lord to change them, and he does try to change them, but he's not going to force you to change. So one day he said to me, when does this come upon you? And I said, well, when I come by that racetrack and I have to sit there and wait. And he said, are you talking against anybody there? And I said, well, yes. You may as well admit it. When the word of knowledge and the gift of discerning of spirits is talking about it. And I said, yes, I do. And he said, that's your problem. Jesus never did condemn any sinner. And there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. See, our big problem is we have Jesus in us, but we're not in Christ Jesus. That's our problem today. We don't really understand exactly what that means. The Bible says he's within and without. But these theologians probably know what it means. But I'm just learning how to get into Christ Jesus and feel that anointing around me all the time. I love to feel the anointing. I love that heat in the presence of God. But I don't always have it, and I don't know how to keep it. It comes and it goes, but I know we're going to have it eventually all the time. He was talking about that last night. Let me go on. The Lord is uttering his voice, and we're going to march. We're going to march. And then it goes on down, and it says, the 13th verse says, rend your heart. when you're in something, you tear into it. You tear into that sinful heart. That's what it means. Tear into it and see what's in there. I think I wrote a book back there once on rending your heart, or an article or something. And I looked up the word rend, and not your garments, and turn. It's not what we wear. I was talking to her about early Pentecost. Oh, my. It's no wonder that we all got full of demons in early Pentecost, because they wanted you to wear black stockings. I had to have long hair. They wanted me to do it up in a knot, but I refused that. Rebelled. and all kinds of things. Legalism. It only drove us into more rebellion, really, as children. But her three boys, I have a lot to pray about with them. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Have to have mercy. Slow to anger. Oh, my. Just pop off anytime we want to. That's not of God. That's sin. And we need to control that anger. And if you've ever been a drunkard, wine is a mocker, the Bible says, and strong drink is raging. That's where rage comes from drinking strong drink. And wine is a mockery to the Holy Spirit. Slow to anger and of great kindness. I really feel sorry that there's many of you have come and want private deliverance, and I try to do the best I can, because there's not enough of me to get around, and so just try to receive all you can in the meetings, and before you leave, I don't want anybody to leave here with anything that's bothering them. I have compassion on everyone that says they want deliverance, and I want to be able to pray for them. Is that all right? Jesus had compassion on me, and he had mercy on me. Who knoweth if he, God, will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Here it is again. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. You know, ever since this meeting, everybody's coming up to me and saying, have you ever written anything on fasting? Well, I did a long time ago, but I never did finish it. It's called The Fasting Cookbook. And it's all the different kind of fasts. You know, you don't always have to abstain from food. There's abstaining from sleep. And there's abstaining from certain foods. And all kinds of fasts. And I had that all, I don't know, I did it in California years ago. And I don't even know where it is, but it's someplace I can find it, I guess. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, and you women that are having trouble with your husbands, it's your job to sanctify them, because you have to, because the Lord says to, doesn't he? The women or the men can sanctify the wife. Don't just blow up and walk out. You start sanctifying your husband. Or I had to sanctify Glenn. Look how good he is now. The Lord has helped me. After 50 years, something's got to happen. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest, we're all priests unto God, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. You know, we haven't had any really altar calls. Where we used to get down and pray in early Pentecost. You remember at the altar and before church, nobody was babbling. We went into a side prayer room on either side of the choir and we prayed. And we went an hour or so early and prayed. How many were in those early Pentecost? Yes, these Pentecostals, old timers, they know what it is to pray. And now we just say these little short prayers and we make a decision. And that's not real repentance. I hate to tell you people, but it's not. We need to be helped is right. Spare thy people, O Lord. Cry out for the abominations. Glenn talked on that the other day. Cry out for the abominations that's in the house of the household of faith. My land, there's plenty of sinners. But what about the household of faith that needs help so bad? That's what we should be crying out about now. And give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Where is their God? You know, some neighbors will say, if that's religion, who needs that? What a testimony. What a bad testimony. I remember our secretary in California, we had this big typing and print shop, and the people from our church used to come for things to be printed. One day she said to me, Irma, I wish you'd quit doing work for those people in your church and those preachers that come in here. I said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, they never pay. She said, I bill them month after month, and they don't pay. Now, what a testimony for a girl that was not really basically a church member. What a testimony. Preachers leaving town, and we get it back all the time. Reverend so-and-so and so-and-so moved and left no address. And I always think, oh, dear Lord, I hope they didn't leave a bunch of bills behind. Isn't that a terrible testimony? It is a terrible testimony. The Lord will be jealous for his land and pity his people. I think the Lord sits up there, and Jesus, he told Peter, I'm praying for you that your faith fail not. And every once in a while I say, Jesus, please pray for me that my faith fails not. When they gave us or told us this blacktop was going to be 20,000, that takes a little bit more than naked faith. Doesn't it? I say, Jesus, please pray for me that my faith fails not. Now, bills don't seem to upset Glenn because he doesn't sit up there at that desk and get them in the mail and look at them like I do. But, you know, he is faithful. If I wasn't a good believer, I would never believe that everything on this campground is paid for and that house is paid for and the car is paid for. I would not be able to believe it, but Glenn would spur me on. I'd say, look at all these bills. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Go borrow the money at the bank. No, the Lord will send it in. The Lord will send it in. When you speak, now, you know, these faith people, they have it down pat about the tongue and how we speak. I don't condemn them. They got something. They may not have everything. And of course, they may run it in the ground, so to speak. But the Lord will provide. I'm learning to say that. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Say that. Let's proclamation that right now. The Lord will provide. He'll provide for every one of you. He wants us to be prosperous and in good health, too. And there's healing in his wings. There's healing in our hands to pray for the sick. You know, it doesn't even say, it just says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. But we think we have to... And all that, like he was talking about. Now, I have something to discuss with you, and I know it's supposed to be done in private, and then two people, and then everybody. But our prayer group did pray for you when you were sick. And you said the other night you didn't want them prayer groups praying for you, but we prayed for you anyhow, in spite of you. I like that, Brother Tromley, don't you? I do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go down to the 21st verse. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. What a proclamation. The Lord will do great things. I'm so glad we don't owe any bills, because they worried me when we were building this. This lady that said she got high blood pressure, I got high blood pressure from just thinking about owing $200,000 or something. But you know, the Lord is so faithful, and Glenn is so tenastic, I guess is the word. Is that a good word? Tenastic? He hangs on. Tenacious. And he kept saying, the Lord will take care of it. Quit worrying. I'm not going to borrow any more money now. The bank comes and begs us to borrow money. They do. They do. Well, praise the Lord. He did provide. Many times. One time I picked up an envelope that had just the address on it, no return address, and no name inside. It had 20 $100 bills in it. Isn't that like the Lord? And recently, a truck driver and his wife, they both drive. They haven't been here for years. They sent a check. Was that check for $1,200 or $2,000? $1,200. It was right the day we needed it the most. And I thank the Lord for his faithfulness. And he wants you to be faithful. You know, they were talking about the called and the chosen. But we're obligated to be faithful. And that's in every area of our lives. Being faithful. The faithful ones in the book of Revelations is going to get all the juicy rewards. You can be called. You can just be in the 30-fold and barely saved. And that's your fire insurance, I suppose, to keep you out of hell. And you get the Holy Spirit. You move up into the 60-fold. That's all free, getting up there. The gifts are free. Healing is free. Everything is free. But you start to move into that third realm, going toward the hundredfold, and there's nothing more free. You have to climb inch by inch, mile by mile, up toward the Lord. And I'm not there yet, but I'm pressing toward that mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. If there's anything I desire, it's this hundredfold anointing. I wrote a book back there. It's called Where Are You in God? It's a thermometer. But when you start, look how long this artist drew this, how long the 30-fold is. There's hundreds and millions of people that have received Jesus. There's fewer people going that's up into the 60-fold. But look at the little short span of the faithful ones moving toward the 100-fold. It's going to cost you everything, people. It's going to cost you everything. Do you think I enjoyed working day and night trying to get that man on the moon and typing day and night and working with hundreds of people? You think I enjoyed that? We didn't have any time to spend the money. Thank the Lord we didn't. And see, the Lord had something in mind for this place, but I certainly didn't have it in mind. All I had in mind was when I was 50 years old, we were going to retire, travel. We'd have enough money for anything we wanted to do the rest of our life. That wasn't the Lord. That was the carnal mind, the carnal nature. When Glenn had that vision, I thought, why is he doing that? Why does he want to move out of California, out of our beautiful home, out, away from our friends and children and grandchildren? Why, Lord, why? But you see, he had a plan for all of us. Man, it costs us everything. These prophets used to come in here. You know, prophets, I like them. I even like the ones that prophesy off the top of their head because they say kind of nice things, you know. Of course, I try to discern what's good and what isn't good. But I remember Derek Prince taught us that. He says some of these prophets, they prophesy off the top of their head. But, you know, you got to pray for them anyway. And discern. We've had some harrowing experiences around here about people prophesying, especially women. Is there anything in that book about women prophesying over people's heads? Boy, that could be treacherous, or it could be wonderful. You got to watch that. One man from the Full Gospel Businessman from way out in Oregon, he came here a few days early, and he said, oh, I know the greatest prophetess. She is just wonderful. He said, I think I'll just send her the money to fly in here and help in this coming camp meeting. So that little bell kind of went off inside of me. You know that little, still, small voice? And I tried to throw it off. Oh, well, that won't be so bad. Maybe she is a real prophetess. But I had that little feeling. When she walked in here, you should have really seen my eyes, I suppose. She was quite obese. She had hair hanging down below her bottom. She had a purple scarf wrapped around her head, and she looked for the world like the pictures that we've seen of fortune tellers. And that little still bell was going off. And one afternoon, we had a full house in the morning, and one afternoon we had, just a handful of people. And we were wondering, well, where is everybody? You know, she had gone to everyone, and she had told them, if you will come down to the river and let me wash your feet, I'll dry your feet with my hair and I'll give you a prophecy. And we finally found out about it after the meeting was over. You know, the Bible talks about silly women. Well, there are a few silly men, too. Silly women. I'm telling you, I'm pretty bold. If you're doing something that's pretty bad to other people, I might come up and speak to you about it. And I told this man, I said, she's a false prophetess. That wasn't right. She was telling people who to marry and what and to divorce their husbands. These women was wanting a word from the Lord. That's not right, people. And you better be careful about any prophecy. Any prophecy. You judge it. And if it's not a confirmation that you've been asking the Lord to give you, is this right? That's why Glenn is so well, sometimes almost brutal, telling you that he doesn't want you prophesying up there and prophesying because it has to be judged. We've had all kinds of... I guess the Lord has tried to train us, and sometimes we've caught on days later, but sometimes we've listened to that still, small voice. If you feel something strange, I feel the power of God. The fire of God is so strong up here. This is a wonderful place to be, because I've been back there cooking and answering the phone, and I tell Glenn, he should never be tired sitting up here where all the glory is. But he thinks he's tired. Well, if he's tired, I guess he's tired. I'm not even tired when I'm back there. But I can feel the glory of the Lord. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar. And we're in the era of restoration right now, aren't we? The Lord is restoring the glory of the Lord back into the church. My great army which I sent among you, and ye shall... Do you all know you're in the army of the Lord? And you know you'll get a curse on you if you don't respond? If you don't respond to the army, the regular army, they'll throw you in the brig, won't they? I don't know what the Lord might do, but he says he'll curse you. That's in Hosea, isn't it? And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, and that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and we are God's people, whether you want to believe it or not. It's not all over there. And that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. You know, in early Pentecost, I was ashamed of what went on because they would come and throw rocks and rotten eggs in the church while my dad was preaching. And I used to think, and it was the enemy giving me these thoughts, if this is so right, why does my dad and our family have to suffer so much? But think how Jesus has suffered. He suffered. We're going to have to suffer a little. You know, if you don't have a problem, you don't pray much, do you? Never. You just hardly ever pray, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the food. But if you're out of food and you have to sit at the table and wait for the Lord to send in the food, which we did when we were kids, but my brother and I never did worry about it. I just knew that when my dad prayed, Lord, send us some food. Somebody would knock on the door, even sometimes while we're praying, bring some hot rolls and a roast or something from the farms. The depression was not funny. In the early days of starting Pentecostal churches in towns up in northeastern Missouri and in Illinois, it was hard sledding, but there's a lot of hungry people. And here's where I'm going to launch a little something now. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You have flesh. He's pouring out his spirit, isn't he, upon us. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. I'm a second generation Pentecostal, and I'm a daughter of a Pentecostal preacher. And your old men shall dream dreams. Glenn, he can have a dream. We hardly get in bed, and I haven't even shut my eyes yet. And I started talking to him, and he said, "You interrupted my dream." All right, just... That must mean he's getting old. Is that right? He can dream 40 dreams a night. I hardly ever dream anything. It doesn't say old women. It says old men. And your young men will see visions. Well, doesn't it? We have to read this thing literally, this Bible. We can spiritualize it ever so much, but it's literal too. And upon the servants and upon the handmaidens, in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. When we used to live in North Ridge in the San Fernando Valley and up at Point Wainema, they would shoot off those rockets, a lot of times just toward evening, and they would go through the air and they'd leave great pillars of smoke. What? Whatever. Contrails. What's that? Well... This says pillars of smoke and and wanders in the heavens. Now, in the early days, you remember when Sputnik Nick would come over, what it was, from Russia? Everybody would be out in the yards watching it come over. We know what time it's going to come through. Oh, my. And all of Lockheed missiles was just absolutely in a horrible, horrendous consternation. And every time they'd see any of these outer space things, Marlene, they'd call conferences and they'd talk for days trying to figure out what it was, trying to figure it out. It was just wonders in the heavens and in the earth. Blood. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. I worked on the project to get the men on the moon for days. In fact, the money that we made on that project is here. It's here, the Apollo contract. The Lord, if you want to know how the Lord gave us that contract over that buyer's dead body, buy that book back there, A Handful of Hair. I reached up on the way down to Downey, California, to Space Center, pulled out a handful of hair, and I was talking to the Lord. I'd never done it before. I do it very seldom now. And I said, Lord, while you're counting these hairs, we need that contract in our shop. We had two big secret facilities and a lot of girls working, and all of our contracts were starting to run out. And I prayed, and that man would not let me go to the Bidders Conference, even though I was working for all the other facilities of North American, and you can read about it. And how many have read that book? And the Lord answered that prayer in spite of that graphic arts buyer. He wouldn't let me go, but the Air Force forced him to send me a bid sheet about a week later. And forced him to give me a contract. And then he tried to get rid of us by giving us horrible, horrible amounts of pages at night, after 6 o'clock at night. There's 700 pages wanting it by 8 o'clock in the morning. It had to be absolutely perfect. The Lord is wanting, he says, be ye perfect, doesn't he? Even as your heavenly Father. Nobody's perfect, they say. Nobody's perfect. The Lord says, be ye perfect. That's in the New Testament. Even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And we could not have one hyphen out of place. They would say, well, if they had a bad, you know, explosion or something, they'd say, well, the typist left some hyphens out of those equations, and that's why. That's what the engineers would say. And we'd get called in and threatened. And so we the Lord helped us. We got that job done and sent it back long before 8 o'clock. He did it throughout 3 days. And then those scientists said, whoever's doing this work, we want them to do all of our work. And the Lord, I know full well it was the Lord, we had more work than we could do and a lot more than we needed because we were running three shifts. But the Lord gave strength. He gave us strength. And we never had any money to, we had plenty of money to spend, but no time to spend it. 7 days a week, night and day. And I remember when they landed on the moon, everybody, those preachers were all saying, they'll never get on the moon alive. They'll die. There's no death on the moon because there's no people up there to sin. The wages of sin is death. That's your wages. When you sin, you get death. Stop sinning, stop dying. Isn't that just, that's plain engineering. Long life. Stop sinning. She must not sin much because she's almost 91. And Glenn's going to live, he said, to be 120. Well, I don't say that he don't sin. I'm not going to get up there and say anything like that. But God is his judge, not me. But, I mean, he doesn't sin as much as he used to. Praise the Lord for that. Well, you know, you have to have a little joy otherwise, you'd go crazy with these demons coming day after day after day. Patty and I used to see a car drive in, and we from upstairs, we could look down, and I'd hold my head, and I'd say, oh, no. Oh, no. But, you know, when I would get to pray, oh, man, I get mad at the devil, what he's doing to Christians. And we would just have a glorious time. One time, a lady came, and she wanted to be delivered from drinking. Her son wanted to be delivered. And they had a big business in Dallas. In fact, they lived down there in one of those mansions by the Church on the Rock. And her son lived in El Paso. And he had just heard about us. some way, and he called, and he said, "Do you think that you could pray for my mother?" And I said, "Well, yes. When do you want to come?" "Well, we'd like to drive up, I think, Friday. Friday. We'll be there Friday night, and then we'll stay Saturday." And so we started to pray for her. When she would go to the company parties, she would have one drink, and she'd go absolutely berserk. She'd just do horrible things. She'd be hugging all the other men and sitting on their lap and embarrassing her husband. And so we got ready to pray, and she said, "Now, don't get all of them out of me. Leave one in me." I said, "Why?" She said, "Well, I want to be able to go and have one cocktail and not act stupid and crazy." And so I thought a minute, and I said, "No, they all go, or we're not even going to pray. Because that last one that was left in there would be the strong man. You know, they just love to beg and stay in, the strong man. See, there's a recipe for deliverance. First, what? Bind the strong man. First, bind the strong man." We've been binding the strong man over this campground all week, and we've been asking the Lord to give us wonderful weather, and he has. And he's answered. He answers prayers. He answers prayers if you pray in faith, believing, and it's something. Now, if I would suddenly pray and say, "I want two Cadillacs and $1 million, he'd probably sit up there and laugh or turn his head and Gabriel and Michael would come after me. But, you know, I often pray for Michael, the boring angel, to come. I didn't do that today, but really we should get down to business and pray some. Now I'm going to read one more. Oh, well, we just told her, and so she finally said, okay, get them all then. And Patty and I were kind of standing around when we was praying, and we were sort of almost laughing because it was so funny. She begged, "Just leave one in there. I want to be able to drink one." And I don't know. You see, the Lord says things right out through you that you don't even think about. And I just said, "No, they all have to go or none." And I was very, you don't have to be nice to the devil, but you better not be coming against him in slurry words. Even Michael didn't call him names or anything when he was down there over Moses' grave, did he? Boy, we are so quick with our tongues to do things absolutely against the Word of God. And I just hate to hear preachers call him Slew Foot or some ugly name like that. He's to be cast out. Now, did I tell everything you want me to say now? Okay, we're going to go to Hosea. You know, these Old Testament books, they're good. We were taught to read the New Testament, but there's so much in the Old Testament. When you start reading Deuteronomy, it's wonderful. Fourth chapter. "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel." That's us. Children of Israel, according to 1 Corinthians 10, is our examples. And everything they did from idolatry on, the church, God's people are doing. Not everybody, but there's a lot of idolatry in the church, too. "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth." You can't hardly believe anybody. They have to tie you up with all kinds of signatures when you borrow money or anything. And still, people, you can't trust them. "Nor mercy." There's no mercy in the land, nor knowledge of God in the land. "By swearing." People swear over TV. Isn't it terrible? They swear and say horrible things. "And lying." We had a real big deliverance service here about a month before Christmas. The Lord just, we were back there in a circle, and I got to feeling condemned over telling our kids lies when they were little about Santa Claus. You know, tell them Santa Claus is watching you. Well, he's not sovereign. He's an ugly God. He doesn't know when you're good or bad. And I got really convicted, and I started praying about it, and so we brought it up in this prayer group that one night. And so everybody here said, "Oh, we've told our children all kinds of things like that." And so we started to pray against it and repent for lying. And, you know, some people think a little white lie doesn't hurt. White or black, it's bad. And we prayed about our telling our children. My parents told us. And all back in the generations, that's just been a thing about Santa Claus.
He is a false god. Lying and killing? We have so many murders in this town. Why, it's as bad almost as Los Angeles. And Little Rock is just terrible. People are getting murdered every day, every day. And these school kids are carrying guns to school and killing each other. Stealing. There's so much thievery all around. We have to just pray for the angels of the Lord to guard this place. Guard the equipment. They steal tractors. Well, even Frankie's son-in-law, they were down here one day and somebody got into his pasture and took his, front loader, backhoe, and all the equipment. Just went right out through the fence, let the cattle all out, and just took it. They never did find it. Stealing. And there's banks being robbed. One bank was robbed, in 4 days, 3 times. Same bank in Little Rock. Bank up here by the mall being robbed. Out in the west part of town being robbed. Stealing. They're stealing. We need to come against all those kinds of sins and make sure we've got authority. You won't have any authority if you steal. If you steal tithes from the Lord, well, you might be one of those going and steal a bank, hold up a bank one day. If you've got the nerve to steal your tithes from God, I hate to say this, this is kind of hard, but if you've got the nerve not to pay your tithes and steal God's portion from Him, you don't know when the devil's going to take you over. You know, he can come and take you at will. There's scriptures about that. We all better be real careful to repent. Committing adultery. Now, you've committed adultery when you've gone to a fortune teller. That's called spiritual fornication. And there's plenty of adultery in the body of Christ. Don't think there isn't. We all want to seem so holy and everything, but we pray for lots of women that have committed adultery and it's on their conscience. They break out and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. We know that most of the fish are not fit to eat anymore. And the trees are dying. That's in another chapter. Trees are dying. Or the heathen are stealing our lumber. We're in a serious time, people. We got to be serious with God. We can't just namby-pamby and play church. I don't want to play church anymore. I hate playing church. I had it long enough. I want to see the move of God, don't you? And when we get our lives cleaned up, we won't have any trouble with revival, will we, brother? They'll just come. They'll just come. We've been praying for our neighbors. I've been praying for our neighbors for about, I don't know, maybe 6 months or a year. And we're starting to see the fruit of it. We're starting to see the fruit of it. Different people. Today I had another girl call up. I don't know if she's here or coming tonight. She works right up here at the mall. I said, do you live in the vicinity? She said, oh, yes, I do. Janine, that's a great prayer warrior. She had to work. She has to work. She's worked in the kitchen some this week. She lives up on the mountain. She's lived up there 2 years and didn't even know we were down here or what we did here. And she's a prayer warrior. I mean, she gets with it. She asked me one day, she said, do you care if I come down and pray 2 hours a day and intercede back here in one of these rooms? Well, of course I don't care. Anybody can come in here and pray. And prayer changes things. It moves the hand of God. It changes us. Read the 6th verse. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Don't you wish you'd have known what you know today when you were 8 and 10 years old or a little child? Don't you wish you had known all this? We would have never given ourselves over to the enemy like we have. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. A lot of people reject what's taught here. Well, you don't have to believe us, but you better look in the Bible. Don't just start saying, well, I don't believe that. They're crazy. Those people are demon chasers. There's plenty of them around. Yeah, we have one father of a girl that's just gotten saved here. It says she's joined the Jim Jones clan. I said, don't pay attention to him, honey. That thou shalt be no priest, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. You know, a lot of people say, well, you don't have to obey the laws or the Ten Commandments. I've heard preachers, good preachers, spirit-filled preachers get up and tell you, you don't have to obey the commandments of the Lord. Well, the last chapter of Revelation says you do. I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so shall they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people and set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward for their doings. 11th verse, whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart, take away the understanding. When it speaks of the heart, a lot of times it's knowledge. I very rarely ever say anything about this because I don't thoroughly understand what the Lord was doing, but it was way back in the 60s. And I was just a carnal Christian. I admit I used to wear my dresses so tight that I didn't dare wear a tight one on Sunday night because we always had to go to the altar and get down on our knees and pray. And my dresses were so tight, I couldn't get down to pray. So I couldn't wear, I had to be careful what I wore on Sunday night if I went to church. But I could think up things, reasons I didn't want to go. I have a headache. Oh, dear God, deliver me from all those lies I used to tell. It's a wonder he didn't smite me dead or give me something bad. So Glenn would go to church most of the time. And I'd say, well, I have to fix my hair and I have to do this and I have to do that. And you know, but the Lord began to change me in the 60s. First time I ever heard a sermon on deliverance, I knew that was what made the deacon beat up his wife. When he had given a message in tongues or a prophecy the Sunday before in my dad's church, and they'd all come to the parsonage, and us kids were we sworn to secrecy. Don't say a word, don't say a word, don't you ever say anything about this. And they'd pray, and I'm telling you, the Lord began to change me. When you turn your face and draw nigh to the Lord, he's going to draw nigh. And I started really seeking the Lord. And one night, in the night, in a hotel room, a bright light shined on me. I bolted straight up in bed. I was in a sound sleep. I sat straight up in bed, and it was so bright I couldn't understand how Glenn could sleep through it. And it turned on and off three times. I really don't understand all about it, what it was, but I began to change. And when you sung that song this afternoon, arise and shine, for the light has come. Light is knowledge. We are destroyed for lack of knowledge because we haven't had the light on something. You see what I mean? You see what I'm saying? So we've got a lot of light lately. The Lord is revealing fast. He said, I'm going to do a quick work and cut it short in righteousness. We have no idea really what that means, do we? We have no idea. But he's going to do it, he said. And if he says he's going to do it, but he also said that his wrath is coming. And Glenn teaches his wrath is as strong as his promises. And we better shape up as Christians and really get down to business. Because we don't know what perilous times mean. I think the tribulation is upon me if the dishwasher won't work. And back in, I was thinking about it today, back in the kitchen about, a year or so ago, we ran out of film. You know, the Reynolds film that you put over food. Well, the whole kitchen went berserk, the cooks and the helpers. And I said, well, don't worry about it. We haven't had that stuff so many years. I said, put a plate over it, put a lid over it. It's not going to dry out. Well, they just thought the tribulation had come. That's not tribulation. That's just a little annoyance. But you see, we are so used to so much, we don't know what in the world is going to come on this nation for the sins. And we better be ready for it, and we better know Jesus. We better be truly born again. I really and truly think I was saved, but I was not born again by the Spirit until that light shined on me. I never heard anybody say, I remember a preacher came here one time, a very godly man, and he said to me, so-and-so in your church is not born again. I thought, not born again? Why, they're good people. He says, they are not born again. And I started thinking about it. It wasn't too long after that till some deep repentance came to those people. And I saw what he meant. We have to tune in. And when the Lord shows us something, we better do something about it. We better do something about it. Today, I'm not going to have a regular deliverance service. We got tomorrow and the next day and the next day. We've had a lot of deliverances today. How many people have been delivered today? How many people have to leave tomorrow? If few people have to leave tomorrow. Well, I don't know what's going to come off tonight, but the preaching machine is going to preach. And who knows what's going to come off tonight. But you just keep hanging in there about deliverance. But I want to call you down around the altar, everybody, to repent. To repent. Repent of our sins, our shortcomings, our iniquities. You know what iniquity is? They all say lawlessness. That never did mean anything to me until I really, the Lord showed me. It's when you know something is wrong and you do it anyway. You keep on doing it anyway. That is iniquity. And we're born. I didn't read the last verse of Joel, but I believe this is where the church is today. He said, I'm going to cleanse your blood that has not been cleansed. He's cleansing our blood. He's cleansing our blood. And the doctors will say, well, those, they'll test you for, you know, to give blood, the Red Cross, and they'll say they have dirty blood. That's the term they use. It can't be used because it's so contaminated. And I pray that the Lord will cleanse my blood. How many would like your blood cleansed? If your blood is cleansed and pure, you're going to walk in health, aren't you? Divine health, aren't you? Are you? Are you? Sure. If your blood is pure. See, it's the blood that's contaminated the people with AIDS, isn't it? It's coming from blood. So it says that he's going to cleanse our blood. And I want you to get up without any pleading. If you feel that you need to repent about anything, and come down and kneel at this altar, and we're going to pray. And if you want deliverance, there's plenty of time. They're not going to eat for 25 more minutes. And I'll tell you, if you're really hungry, that we're having beef and mashed potatoes and corn and coleslaw and I think chocolate whipped cream pie. So you got plenty of time to come down and repent, because we've had a big repentance service about gluttony upstairs and overeating and overindulgence and no temperance. So you've got your, now you're going to be tested when you go to that kitchen. Oh, he tests us once each day. He says, I'm going to test you once each day. See if you're going to fail or not. And I pray, Jesus, that our faith fails not. Help us, Lord. Get up and come down and let's pray. Let's pray. Preachers, teachers, religious, whatever. I want to give you one more scripture. How many have families that are not saved? Children or grandchildren? I brought this Amplified Bible on purpose today. Job 23:30. No, it's not Job 23. Let me see where. I think it's 22:30 maybe. Let's see. Where is it? 22:30? Yeah, 22:30. I have a page right here. I want you to listen to this. With this new authority you've got now since you repented, you had a lot of deliverance. He will even deliver the one for whom you intercede who is not innocent. Yes, he will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands. Your intercessory prayer. That is good. We have tested this and tried this. We were doing it before we knew it was scriptural to do it. The Holy Spirit just beyond us prays through us. And we were praying for people that smoked. And they didn't always pray them. You can be seated because we got 5 minutes. I don't come up here very often, so I'm going to give you the full dose. You can be seated. This girl, they were the young people's leaders at a church, and I didn't know them, never saw them in my life, but we were coming home from a big convention. We had stopped off in Missouri, and we were sort of resting, and you know, when you rest, the Lord can show you many things, and I saw this vision of a girl. She was coming up out of the water, and she was a beautiful girl. She had on a purple dress like this, except it had a tie that came around with little fluffy tassels, and it was laced down with brass buttons or buttonholes, and her hair was piled up high, and she was very beautiful. And I knew that the Lord was wanting me to pray for her. So I told Glenn about it, and we prayed. We got back to the prayer group in California. I love these home prayer groups. They get down to business. And I said, you know, I've been seeing a girl She's real beautiful, and she's been through a great trial or something, and the Lord wants us to pray for her, and I've been praying for her. I don't know who she is. I've never seen her in my life, but she was dressed in purple, which is a royal color, isn't it? And I said, I'd like for all of you to help me pray and see what the Lord's trying to show me. You know, a lot of times he shows you things, and you don't have the least idea what it is. About a day or two later, after the prayer group had prayed and we'd all been praying, we went to the chapel in the canyon where Roy Rogers and Dale Evans had built. Bob Mumford and Chuck Flynn were preaching, and we used to tape for them. Once a week, they had a meeting out there, and all the prayer groups came together. And there was never any envy or strife. It was just glorious meetings. And after the service, I was up talking to some people, and somebody walked up behind me and said, "Are you the tape lady?" And I turned around and I said, "And you're the girl." And her mother was with her. She was a married woman with two children. And I said, "We've been praying for you. I saw you in a vision, in a night vision." I have more night visions than I do day visions. I think I may have a lot of day visions I don't realize. Anyway, I said, "You're the girl, and you were dressed in purple, the same outfit that you've got on, but I don't know who you are." And I said, "You've been through a great trial, and the Lord has had me praying for you for the last week or more." And she really began to weep and cry, and her mother was there. And she said, "Yes, I've been through a great trial." She said, "I worked on the dock at the post office with a lot of fellas, and they told me that I was too beautiful to be tied down with a husband and two kids, that I should leave my husband." And she said, I knew better, but I listened to them, and I left my husband. And she said, "I've just come back, and he's taken me back." And we all wept and cried, you know, as you would. And she said, "I want to get some tapes. Tell me you've got tapes on deliverance." I said, "Yes." And so she said, "Well, could we come to your house and get them?" I said, "Sure." So we made a time, and they always were saying, we want a fellowship with you. You know, a lot of people are lonely. We see so many people, we're glad to sit over there in the house and say nothing, you know. But a lot of Christians, they need to visit each other. You can't depend on the preacher to go everywhere. You should be a visitation committee. And so we were getting ready to move out of our house, which Glenn had tapes strewn from one room to the other, and Chuck Flynn had said, "Glenn, this is a disgrace in this beautiful new house. You need to get yourself an office." And so we had rented a new building, and it needed painting. They said, "We'll go and paint that." We had to go to Phoenix to a convention, and while you're gone, can we paint it? We said, "Sure." So we let them. And then she said, could I work there and help you? I said, "Sure," because we couldn't do it all with a store. It had to be a storefront building, and it was a nice new building, but it had to be open to the public in that particular rental. And so one day she came to work crying. And I had said to Glenn, I said, "You think either one of them smoke? I can smell smoke on those people. And if you don't smoke, you can smell it a mile away, you know." He said, "Oh, I don't think so. They're youth leaders at the first assembly down here. And they had been Baptists, had gotten the Holy Spirit." See how the devil comes at you the minute you get the Holy Spirit? He comes after you. You better not yield to him. Of course, we don't know until we've done it sometimes. But anyway, she said, "I have a problem." I said, "Do you smoke?" She said, "No, I don't, but my husband does. He smokes 3 packs a day." I said, "Well, he's got a demon." That's my big mouth talking right out, you know. And I said, "We better pray for him." And so we prayed. She went home. She told him, "Irma Miller says you've got a demon of nicotine." Well, that went over like a lead balloon. And he said, "I started to smoke when I was 13 years old. I smoke 3 packs a day. And it's not a demon. It's just a normal way of life." So she come back in crying. So I said, "Well, let's pray." Now, she and I held hands like this, fairly close together. We stomped on the devil. We prayed every way we knew how against that cigarette spirit. And I said, "Now, don't tell him anything. Don't say anything anymore. Let him alone. And so then, a few days, next day, she come in, said he's still smoking. I said, well, pray again. Doesn't hurt to pray once or twice. Jesus prayed for the blind man twice, so that's scriptural to keep on praying. So we prayed and we stopped and we bound. We did everything. I wish I knew everything we said because it really worked. About the third day, he called me and he said, they think I have a heart attack at work. They think I've had a heart attack. He worked out on Wilshire Boulevard. He was an office manager of a big insurance company. And he said, do you think Judy could come home? They tested my heart and they say nothing's wrong, but they want me to come home to rest. So I said, sure, I'll send her right home. When she got home, he was laying on the kitchen floor writhing. Well, she called me back, forgot all about the prayers. She said, pray for him. So we prayed again. And when the Lord's already answered a prayer, you know the Holy Ghost won't rise up and pray. I tried to pray in tongues, and nothing would come. So that night we went away. Glenn's mother was at our house. We went away down 60 miles to a home meeting. When we got back, she was still awake. It was pretty late. And she said, they think he's dying. They've taken him to the hospital, and he's hemorrhaging from his lungs. So we were real tired. I think it was 1 or 1:30. So I prayed a little bit, and then I got in bed, and I'd wake myself up every little bit, and I'd think, oh, we can't let that man die. We can't. He's too young. Well, then, he wasn't more than 32 or 33, I don't think, something like that. And so I would try to wake up and pray, and nothing would come. It was just terrible. And so I was feeling condemned, you know, but the Holy Spirit was couldn't get one word in tongues out, and I didn't know how to pray for him. It never entered my mind that we never bound that spirit so it wouldn't tear him. See, the Bible, Jesus bound them, said they wouldn't tear. But when she called me the next morning, and she said, he's in the hospital. They've given him how many pints of blood? I don't remember. And finally, they stuck a long needle back through his lung and through his arm, and they were just siphoning this blood. And he was just bleeding bright red blood after all those transfusions. And they said he was going to die. So grandmother stayed at the store. We didn't have any other clerk. And I went to the hospital. And she was standing in the hall talking to a nurse at intensive care. And intensive care is where they put all the dying ones. I walked in there, all these people with gurgling in their throat. I haven't seen very many people die. And I thought, boy, I'd want to die if I was in there. I'd get out there one. And I walked in. I took one look at him. How many of you have ever heard that awful death rattle? Well, she's a nurse. I remember when my grandfather died, but I was only 5 years old. And I took one look at him and said, you're not going to die. You look like you've got life in you. And I didn't know then to come against the spirit of death and command life to come in. I walked out in the hall again. I had to go back to work. And she said, you know, on the way to the hospital, he threw his cigarettes out the window and said he didn't want them anymore. But I just said, well, thank the Lord. It never really registered to me what it was. And he was in the hospital, and they told him, they took a lot of x-rays, and he kept getting better, and they took him out of that awful dead room, and they were going to send him home, and they had to come back and operate on him in about 6 weeks when he recuperated, because he had a lot of blood in the bottom of his lungs that they couldn't see it in the x-ray.
They said it never come out unless they operated.
No, they had to clean it out. They had to operate on him. So we prayed some more. And on the day he was going home from the hospital, the chief surgeon came in, and she walked over to the desk and said, really, what was the diagnosis of this? And he had written on the chart, guess what? A torn lung, reason unknown. That demon, when it left him, he never has smoked again, but we never did tell him we prayed.
He never did have to go back to have his lungs.
No, the Lord healed him completely. Healed him completely. So you can deliver those now. If you've got clean hands, if you're not a smoker, you can deliver those.
Or whatever.
that don't want to be delivered, even though they're vile, you can deliver them. It takes a lot of intercessory prayer, but you can do it. Is that all right, Doctor? Doctor, no. He's raised a few people from the dead.
Are we going to eat?
Yeah. Are they ready? Oh, boy. Everybody going to be temperate in all things? Pie and all? Father, we thank you for your graciousness and your love to us, Lord. We thank you that we have shelter and food. We have a lovely warm facility. We have good water. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to bless us as we fellowship and eat tonight, because you have purified us in a greater measure today than we've ever been purified. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And I can tell you we've delivered many smokers since then.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.